The title of message four, the final message, is The Kingdom and the Church. And a basic thought that is the foundation of this message is that the church meaning for us a practical expression of the universal organic body of Christ. The Lord said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. And the words my church refer to the one unique, universal, organic body of Christ. Then in chapter 18, he twice used this expression, the church. Tell it to the church. And someone needed to listen to the church. So the church, not a church, the church, according to the New Testament, one church in one city, no more than one. This is the God-ordained arrangement for the church life. And so the emphasis here will be the kingdom of God and the church, primarily as the local expression of the body of Christ, a genuine local church. And I would ask you to please consider your own understanding and feeling and view concerning what a church is. What is a local church? And I believe that many of us would say first, and maybe only this, the church is the dwelling place of God. It is the household of God. When I came into the church, I had the sense that I had come home. This is where I belong. And this, to state the obvious, is absolutely correct. The church is the dwelling place of God. It is the household of God. Even it's called the household of faith in Galatians 6. And all those in the church are members of the family of God. And so when we are in the church, we're in the house, the dwelling place of God, with the family of God. But there is another very important aspect that we must consider in this message, and that is a genuine local church is the kingdom of God in practicality. To make it even more brief, a local church is the kingdom of God. In Revelation, a book of visions that were written down and sent to local churches, the Apostle John wrote this concerning Christ Jesus, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. He made us a kingdom. Who is the us? It's all the saints in the seven local churches who would receive what is written on the scroll. And the apostle is saying, Christ, through his death and resurrection and ascension, has made us a kingdom. The local churches are kingdoms. Then in verse 9, John says something quite personal. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation, the kingdom, and endurance in Jesus. Here he is on the island of Patmos, an elderly man, at least in his early 90s. And he is there alone, but on the Lord's day, he's in spirit. Then the revelations came. And it's quite touching when he didn't say, John, I'm the last of the apostles. Please realize who's writing this to you, an apostle. No, I, John, your brother. I'm your brother. And I'm your fellow partaker. We are in this together. A partaker in the tribulation. A partaker, fellow partaker in the kingdom. Well, how is John living in and partaking of the kingdom life alone on this rocky island, Patmos? Well, in two ways. One is that he's living under the rule of God in Christ in the way of life. He's living in the reality of the kingdom, Jesus shining upon him. But also, even though physically he could not meet with the saints, inwardly, intrinsically, organically, he knew, I'm in the body with you. I'm in the church, which is the kingdom with you. And so I believe these verses help us and prepare us to consider the substance of this outline, that a genuine local church is not only the dwelling place of God, the household of God, where we come together in oneness, in peace, love, joy, and experience and enjoy the Lord together. We also need to be equally, deeply impressed that when we are in the genuine church life, we are in the kingdom of God. And I would like to point out something. When a child is born, and say after she or he has grown 4 or 5 years, they have some understanding that they're in a family, they have parents, they're living in a certain place, but they were born into this family, they cannot say, well, I will live in this part of the family life, but I'm not interested in that part of the family life. Oh, when the family life has happy times together and we go to places that are delightful, I really like that. But now in the family life, I'm given chores to do. I don't want this. Well, a child can't decide what aspects of the family life it wants to live in. As they grow up and are well into the teens, and eventually when in the United States, I don't know who thought this up, when they're 18, they're officially young adults, then they can go on their way and decide, I don't want to live the way my parents live. I don't want to this or that. What I'm trying to say is, we are in the Church of God, which is the house of God and the kingdom of God. We have no right and no ground to be selective. Oh, I'd like to be in a church that's just has this kind of enjoyment and whatever. But oh, please don't talk about the throne and authority and obedience and accountability and responsibility. Being a servant of God. And as an illustration of this, this email was forwarded to me by the person who wrote it. In this case, it was an older sister. And she was sending out this announcement about two groups that had been meeting in homes. We're going to come together, and that's all we will do is to eat and sing. No pursuit of the truth, no mutual fellowship to supply one another and build up one another. This is selectivity. Now, we're not going to have like some kind of serious study of truth and talk about deeper things. Come. Come. We'll have good food, we'll eat, and we'll sing. That's it. And we'll have a happy time singing. This is an actual true to life illustration of someone selecting certain elements of the church life and neglecting others. I don't know if anyone in that gathering had the consciousness. We're in a kingdom together. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We don't go in and out of this realm. We're here eternally. So this, I hope, is somewhat of a background or an opening to the seriousness and the weight of this message, along with the life supply, the grace, the encouragement, the vision governing us, the kingdom and the church. Romans 1. The Bible first presents the kingdom and thereafter presents the church. The presence of the kingdom produces the church. At the beginning of his ministry and continuing through it, the Lord Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. There is no such thing as the gospel of the church. It's the gospel of the kingdom. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." You need to be born of water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. And then this kingdom, as a realm of the divine life, produces the church. May this be written on all of us. The kingdom of God produces the church of God in its local expression. A, the life of God is the kingdom of God. The divine life is the kingdom, and this life produces the church. So the kingdom of God is the realm of God's life. It is God himself as life. And this life, kingdom life, produces the church. One, the kingdom is the realm of life for life to move, rule, and govern so that life may accomplish its purpose. And this realm is the kingdom. Two, the gospel brings in the divine life. And this life has its realm, which is the kingdom. The divine life, with its realm, produces the church. So it's the divine, it's the divine life, the eternal life of God that we receive when we believe into the Son of God. We receive that life, and that life has a realm. And the realm is the kingdom. We cannot separate to say, I just want the life. I don't want the kingdom. I don't want to be under anybody's direction. I just want eternal life. No, they're inseparable. And so the gospel brought to us the divine life. And now eventually we are learning that this life has its realm. And the realm is the kingdom. And it is this divine life with its realm, the kingdom, that produces the church. Whenever a local church is established in a locality, and saints from various other places may come for the first Lord's Day morning, breaking of the bread meeting, first Lord's table. The church is being established there. And the source is the divine life flowing through the body in the realm of the kingdom. And now when this church is established, it is a local manifestation in practicality of the kingdom of God as a realm of divine life. Three, the gospel of the kingdom brings forth the church because the kingdom is the life itself, and the church is the issue of life. May this truth penetrate us. May it not just bounce off us. Something we that may or may not be interested in. This is an important matter affecting our church life, and it may affect whether or not we receive the kingdom reward. It has very much to do with the kind of practical church life we have week after week. I repeat point three, the gospel of the kingdom brings forth the church because the kingdom is the life itself and the church is the issue. Now we take it further step in point B. The kingdom is the reality of the church. Just consider this, please. It is a fact. It's not a criticism, it's not a judgment, it's a fact that in certain local churches, there's very little reality. Very little. It varies according to the experience of the saints, their growth in life, the constitution of the leading brothers. Like, this is quite a statement. The reality of the church. It's possible, it's actually happening in various places. While I'm telling you this, a local church life with very little reality. And the reality is the kingdom. Therefore, apart from the kingdom life, we cannot live the church life. Yes, we use this expression. It's an endearing expression, church life. But what actually do we mean by church life? Maybe many of their thought is, it's just what we do. It's the meetings, coming together on the Lord's Day, and we come together to pray. We have meetings to pursue the Word of God opened by the ministry. We have practical service. We take care of the saints of all ages. That's the church life. Well, it is in an outward way, but not intrinsically. And so we cannot live the church life in the sight of God if we are apart from the kingdom life. I put it this way, applying to all of us, to the speaker first, I say yes, amen. The nature of our church life is determined by the amount of our living in the kingdom life. We may define, like I mentioned, I'm in the church life. I'm fully active in the church life. Here's a sister, 77 years old, and her husband has a major responsibility in the church, very active, very diligent, but may be short of reality. This is a serious matter to consider. We're in the kingdom. How can we, in a sense, how dare we live in the kingdom where we are by our own natural life, by just the way we want to do things? We're in a kingdom, dear saints. When you're in a local church, you're in a kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's a realm of life. And there's the law of the Spirit of life operating here. We need to know this, and the subpoints now are enlightening, they are convicting, and thankfully they are supplying. One, the reality of the kingdom of the heavens, Matthew 5 through 7, is the content of the church life. We read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That is the content of the church life. So let me just select two or three verses to illustrate. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. To be poor in spirit, to come to a ministry meeting, to a conference meeting, poor in spirit, coming fully open to receive the word from the Lord in a living way. And then in the same chapter, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I just like to ask, somewhat in a fatherly way, I'd like to ask a question to those, I would say, 35 and under, who are well-educated or trained for their livelihood. Can you honestly testify concerning your life that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? First. It doesn't just say seek the kingdom. First. And so we have point after point made by the Lord. And now we're saying it is the content of the church life. Without the reality of the kingdom, the church is empty. Listen to this. The church is empty. We know in Revelation 1, the Son of Man is standing in the midst of the golden lampstands. Then he speaks to the church, locality by locality, by speaking to the messenger there. The Lord knows the situation, the condition of every church, and he has the ground to say something similar to Laodicea. You are empty. You're empty. It's possible to be in an empty local church. And there are various degrees. We're viewing this from the kingdom side, from the household side. We don't have a concern along this way. But now it's the kingdom of God side. And now we are learning from the ministry of the age that without the reality of the kingdom, the church is empty. I just wonder if in any place, not in response to what Brother Ron is saying, no, in response to what the Spirit is saying, I just wonder if in any local church the leading brothers, when they come together, hopefully for their weekly meeting, they will humble themselves before the Lord and open their being and inquire of the Lord. Lord, what is your understanding of the content of the church here in this city? We don't want to be empty. We want to be filled with reality. If no one ever prays like this or considers this, then I can say before the Lord, Lord, by your mercy and grace, I spoke directly about this, but I'm so sad with the response. Not the response to make me feel good about the message. The Lord knows that's not my heart. I'm for the reality of the kingdom in all the churches. 2, since the kingdom life issues in the church life, as we live corporately in the kingdom life, we spontaneously live the church life. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we should consider this before the Lord. Lord, are we living corporately in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? If we are, then spontaneously we live the church life. I would put it this way. If we live the church life as I defined earlier, just a series of practical outward activities, meeting, serving, visiting, things like that. If we simply have that kind of church life, in the sight of God, we may not have the reality because we need to live corporately in the kingdom life, corporately. Every point made in Matthew 5 through 7 is directed to us who have been born of the Spirit, who are in the kingdom of God, and this is the kingdom life, which is Christ Himself as life living in us again. We need to live under this kingdom life corporately. Then the Lord will be able to say, even to the enemy, that is the church life. Just look at that, enemy. You have nothing you can mock about. That is the church life. They are living the kingdom life corporately. 3, a believer who does not live in the reality of the kingdom cannot be built into the structure of the church. So now this is a personal matter. A believer who does not live in the reality of the kingdom. So this is how this brother or sister lives. We're not saying they're worldly. No, they may be very upright and conscientious in so many ways. But this one is not living in the reality of the kingdom. That person cannot be built into the structure of the church. And I just speak, not mainly personally, but just identifying myself with many more experienced saints, we can honestly testify without judgment, without condemning, that this dear one has been here so long, but has never been built up in the structure of the church. And there's one situation that I'm very much aware of. This dear one was taken to be with the Lord years ago. And this one, so to speak, had one foot in the church life and another foot in religious Christianity. He'd go back and forth. And when, in an unexpected way, his life came to an end, and we honored him by gathering on the graveside, we loved him, we appreciated his portion, but one brother, with a good intention, he just called out how, this one was an overcomer. And within, there's just a sense, we better not say that. Only the Lord knows. But after these many years, there's still in me love for him. I have reason to say that. Again, no judgment. But he was never built in. How many years? Almost 40 years. Not built in. Dear ones, what are we going to do with points of truth like this? There's a very particular burden and feeling from the Lord and in my inner being. I just testify to you by the Lord's grace. I just personally hunger and thirst for reality. In my life, in my Christian life, in my church life, and in all the churches. And that reality is the kingdom life, lived out personally and corporately, and then we can be built in. See, without the kingdom as the reality of the church cannot be built up. There are local churches. What will be the outcome? We don't know. We can't know. But at present, those churches are not built up. From the leading brothers down, they're not built up. They're meeting. They're active. They propagate the gospel. They're burdened to make the truth known. And they pray and they serve and they care for one another. Yes, all of these necessary actions. But we know from Ephesians 2:22 that Paul said, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God built up? Who considers anyone bearing responsibility or a sister in her heart, in her prayer, bearing responsibility? Is anyone inquiring? Are we being built up here? We have been here X number of years. Is there a building? Are we really being built up? Then the leading brothers inquire of the Lord, Lord, are we being built up? Maybe the Lord might lead them. Seek fellowship. You know whom you should consult for fellowship. Just open the matter to the fellowship of the body, and you will receive the light you need. We must be built up. One, the church is brought into being through the authority of the kingdom. And the authority is in the life. The river of water of life has its source, the throne. Yes, the life is the reality of the kingdom, but the source of the life is the throne. And obviously that's authority. The authority of the kingdom. This is where, throughout our history, saints have stopped their going on. They just don't like being under any authority. And we're talking about the authority of the kingdom, not a presumptuous person claiming authority. The authority of the kingdom. Are we all clear about this? Is this real to us? Two, the keys of the kingdom are given to make the building of the church possible. So we need to eventually learn, what are the keys of the kingdom? How do we exercise them? The Lord's eyes are everywhere. He sees everything now as I'm speaking. He knows in what localities saints use the keys of the kingdom, especially in their praying. From Matthew 18, binding what has been bound in heaven, loosing what has been loosed in heaven. Three, when the kingdom of the heavens is able to assert its authority over a company of believers, those believers can be built up into the church. Please listen to this again. When the kingdom of the heavens is able to assert its authority over a company of believers. Is able. What does that mean? This is the kingdom of the heavens with its authority. Is it not able to do whatever? Well, there's a principle. God needs our cooperation. He needs us to turn to Him and open to Him and follow His leading, and to be under His direction. And we will determine to what extent the kingdom of the heavens can assert authority over us. In that home meeting, announced by a sister, very interesting, or significant, rather. Not a brother, not a leading brother. The Lord knows, was that meeting under the authority of the kingdom of the heavens? No, we don't want to have a serious meeting and going into deep truths. And we just want to eat and sing. This is our church life. But it's not a church life in the kingdom. What the Lord is looking for is the opportunity to assert authority over a company of believers. So the Lord looks in Church A or Church Y, whatever. And what a joy it is for him to see there in that city, there is a company of believers, and the way is open for me to assert the authority of the kingdom of the heavens over them. They know how I do it, by light shining, by life flowing, by love penetrating. They know. Now I'm able to see them built up. I spend much time on this section because this is these crucial points of weighty truths, yet they're full of life and light. Romans 2, the genuine church is the kingdom of God in this age. The genuine church is the kingdom of God in this age. Today, the believers live the kingdom life in the church. A, each time the Lord Jesus spoke of the church, he mentioned it in relation to the kingdom. This indicates how intimately the kingdom and the church are related. How intimately the kingdom and the church are related. One, Romans 14:17 proves that the church in this age is the kingdom of God. Two, the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians 4:20 refers to the church life, verse 17, implying that in the sense of authority, the church in this age is the kingdom of God. Three, the term fellow citizens in Ephesians 2:19 indicates the kingdom of God, the sphere wherein God exercises his authority. Four, when Paul and his fellow workers were doing the gospel work for the establishment, what Paul and his fellow workers were doing in the gospel work for the establishment of the churches was for the kingdom of God. He said, these are my fellow workers in and for the kingdom of God. Five, the word kingdom in Revelation 1:6 reveals that where the church is, there the kingdom of God is. The church represents the kingdom. And I don't know, for some reason this city comes up in my thinking. I don't know yet if there's a local church established in Barcelona, in northern part of Spain. But let's suppose, and if there is, thank the Lord. If there's not, may the Lord raise one up soon, to say that the church in Barcelona represents the kingdom of God. That's certainly true of the church in Edinburgh, Scotland, of the church that's in Rome, of the church that's being recovered again in Zurich, of the church in Helsinki, Finland, in St. Petersburg, Russia, in Athens, Greece, wherever we are. Where the church is, there the kingdom of God is. May the Lord flow unhindered. This is an illustration throughout Germany. Oh, you need to, Lord, may the Lord nullify all the evil work the enemy has done there. And just raise up one lampstand after another in this place, in that place. And it's happening. And may it happen throughout Europe. Golden lampstands raised up, shining there in the darkness. And every church being the kingdom in that locality. And it represents the kingdom of God. B, in the church as the kingdom, we are under the kingdom's rule, government, discipline, and exercise. We're not under the rule of any person. The kingdom rule may flow through a brother, but he is not the ruler. We need to realize in the church, we are under the kingdom's rule. This needs to be settled in us, dear saints. Someone, when it comes to this, they don't want to be here any longer. They said, this is not what I thought. I thought we're just having a family time. We come together in such an enjoyable way. And now you're saying that we are under a rule? No one's going to rule me. I'll rule myself. Well, you may think you're ruling yourself, but you're really not. So the church is the kingdom, and we are in the church. So we are under the kingdom's rule. We are under the kingdom's government. We are under the kingdom's discipline. And we are under the kingdom's exercise. There's no room for looseness here. For just kind of a spiritual, if there's such a thing, laziness. We need to exercise. It's a kingdom requirement. See, in the Lord's recovery, at the same time, we are both in the kingdom and in the church. At the same time. That is, in the treasure, that's the kingdom, and in the pearl, that's the church. I recommend reading the footnotes on those verses to get more light. D, although the church today is God's kingdom, we are in the kingdom in reality only when we live, walk, and have our being in the Spirit, not in our natural man. And as a citizen with you in the kingdom of God, I can simply say amen to this. I realize with you, I'm in the church as today's kingdom of God, but I'm in the reality of the kingdom only when I live in the Spirit, only when I walk in the Spirit, only when I'm not living in my natural man, but in the Spirit. And when I have my being in the Spirit. So I need to acknowledge in a proper way, I am still under training, under kingdom training, to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, have my being in the Spirit, everywhere, at every time, in every situation. I'm still under training. Because any time I'm not exercising my spirit, I'm in my natural life in some way. Yes, I'm still in the church, I'm still in the kingdom outwardly. But during that period of time, I'm not in the kingdom in reality. And the Lord has placed in me and also in so many of you hunger and thirst for reality. As those who are under the dispensing of the divine Trinity, we need to live a kingdom life in the church, growing and developing in the divine life until we reach maturity. So thankfully, we can say we are those who are under the dispensing of the divine Trinity. How blessed we are in the Lord's recovery, in the churches, in the conferences, in the trainings, in gatherings in our homes for genuine fellowship. We are under the dispensing of the divine Trinity. Now we need to live a kingdom life in the church. And we do this by growing and developing in the divine life until we reach maturity. As a father, I saw my own children growing and developing. And as they grew and developed, then their participation in the family life of bearing responsibility, of partaking of various matters they couldn't do when they were 2 or 7. It's the same principle here. We're in the kingdom, but we're still the family of different spiritual ages, different stages. And the more we grow in the divine life, the more the divine life develops within us, the more we are living under the rule of the kingdom. And when we reach maturity, and we will eventually, we will be living absolutely under the rule of the kingdom in the way of life. Now, the last section concerns the work, the responsibility of the church in relation to the manifestation of the kingdom, to the Lord coming with his overcomers to manifest his kingdom on the earth. 3, the church brings in the kingdom. The kingdom brought the church into existence. Now the church brings in the kingdom, meaning the manifestation of the kingdom. The work of the church is to bring in the kingdom of God. So here is the Church of God in Berlin. And the brothers and all the saints are learning to live the kingdom life in Berlin. And more they are conscious of where they are and what the church is. And then light shines and the Spirit flows and leads. And saints realize our work is to bring in the kingdom of God. Lord, teach us to pray in this way, to bring in the kingdom of God. And there will be in all over the earth saints longing for the Lord to come, praying for the manifestation of the kingdom, praying for this age to be consummated and human government to be abolished and replaced by the kingdom manifested on the earth. Then they realize This is what we're living for. This is our work as a church, to participate in bringing in the kingdom of God. A, the church was brought into being for the purpose of bringing in the kingdom. What a wonderful truth. How we need to absorb this, to pray over this, to learn this. One, the church's responsibility is to perpetuate Christ's victory and bring in God's kingdom. We testify, we stand in, we pray concerning Christ's victory. The victory has already been won. Christ fought the enemy for victory. We fight the enemy in the victory of Christ. Two, the work of the church on earth is to bring in the kingdom of God. All the work of the church is governed by the principle of the kingdom of God. All the work of the church. Brothers, have you ever considered this? Maybe the Lord will lead us at some time in the near future or beyond that to have an elder's training concerning the kingdom and the church, to go deeply into these things. Because this point, all the work of the church is governed by the principle of the kingdom of God. The work of the church on earth is to bring in the kingdom of God. Then I would hope the elders and leading brothers would seek the Lord together. Lord, Lord, are we governed by the principle of the kingdom of God? What is governing us? If we're not governed by the principle of the kingdom of God, how can the church here participate in bringing in the kingdom of God? Three, the church is responsible for bringing heaven's will down to earth and for carrying it out on earth. Matthew 6:10. Praying, Father God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for this. May your will be done in Lisbon, in Paris, in so many places. May it be done on earth. May it be done in Amsterdam. May your will be done in Amsterdam as it is in heaven. This is the prayer to bring heaven's will to the earth. Then Matthew 7:21 is about doing the Father's will. They will enter the kingdom as overcomers. 12:50, those who do the will are really brothers, sisters, mothers to the Lord Jesus, as he said. B, the church which comes into being under the rule of heaven by reason of her submission to the heavenly rule deals with God's enemy. How much we need to learn together. I believe our teacher, we only have one, the Lord himself. Well, how we need all these points in section B, Lord. The church came into being under the rule of the heavens. And now we are in submission to the heavenly rule. Now we can deal with God's enemy. We are under the rule of heaven. And we are in submission to the heavenly rule. We can say this in this church, Lord, we're standing here under the rule of heaven. And we take the lead to be in submission to the heavenly rule. Lord, now in this meeting, we will deal with your enemy. One, in order for the kingdom of the heavens to be established, there is the need of spiritual fighting. You know much better than I know, and better than I will ever know, how fierce the fighting is in Europe. I believe it's accurate to say it's the most intense field of fighting on the whole earth. And dear ones that have been living there and others that were sent there to serve, they all know this much better than I know this, that we must engage in warfare. There is the need of spiritual fighting, especially by praying and gospel preaching. Two, the responsibility of the church is to continue the warfare Christ brought on earth, to continue. How we need to be trained, Lord, how do we continue your warfare on earth? Lord, show us, train us. We don't want to just read a point on an outline. We want to be this, Lord. We want to do this for your glory, for the shame and defeat of your enemy. The church must continue the victorious work that Christ has carried out against Satan. Must continue the victorious work. We proclaim it. We testify it. We live it. We pray it. Now, the last section, C. The church should pray to bring in the kingdom of God. And point one says, I'll come back to C in a moment, but point one says, the coming of the kingdom is not automatic. If there is no prayer, the kingdom cannot come. It will not just come. We shouldn't have the thought, well, we'll just take care of what we're doing here. And eventually the Lord will decide to come with his kingdom, and that will be it. That will never happen. God established the principle of prayer. And that involves God saying, this is my will. This is what I want to do. But I will not act alone. I need my people on the earth to agree with me in this and pray for me to do it. Then I will take care of this on the earth. So back to point C. We not only seek first the kingdom of God, we pray this simple prayer. Lord, your kingdom come. And the Lord knows in a thorough but yet loving and tender-hearted way, he knows our inner being. And some saints, he knows, they cannot pray that strongly. Here they're quite young. They have their future ahead of them. Usually, that's how it is. And yes, they would pray, Lord, your kingdom come, but maybe you could wait 40 or 50 years until I've done this and became that. that's kind of unspoken. The Lord knows. So he needs to constitute us with his thought, his feeling, that no matter what our age is, humanly and spiritually, we can truly pray, may your kingdom come to the earth. Lord, end this age. Bring in the age of the kingdom. Two, the prayer of the church is the most effective means of curbing Satan. The prayer of the church is the most effective means of curbing Satan. I'm not an elder in the church. I honor and respect, and I can say I obey and follow the leading of the faithful elders where I am. I just wonder, and what's going on in the United States, it gets week after week, it's worse. The enemy is just rampant. It's just hard to just grasp. Is the Lord trying to say something to this? I need the prayer of the church. I need a certain kind of prayer coming forth from the churches in the United States. Wake up. Yes, you need to pray for this thing and that matter and that person and this meeting and that. But that's not first. Pray to deal with the enemy and open the way for my will to be done on the earth, in your country, in Los Angeles, in Seattle, in Kansas City, in Miami, in Philadelphia, in New York. Curb the enemy. Don't let him go without any limitation. I will act. I will use my power and my authority when you pray the prayer that is needed. Three, the church must be the outlet of heaven, allowing heaven's authority to be expressed on earth. The church must be the outlet. It's there in heaven. It has to have a vessel through which it can flow. And throughout Europe, may there be outlets in more cities. How marvelous in Paris, in Rome, if not a church, hopefully soon in Vienna, in Athens, in Stockholm, in Copenhagen. Oh, for there to have an outlet through the prayers of the church. Lord, surely there's something in your heart to do in Denmark, Lord, in Switzerland, in Belgium, Lord, in all these places. Here we are, train us to be the outlet, allowing heaven's authority to be expressed on earth. I don't know how you feel about this. I myself have been refreshed and inspired with a fresh love and appreciation of the church life. How blessed we are to be able to be in the house of God, his dwelling place, to be his family, to enjoy such family times in the triune God. But we're also the kingdom, participating in the work of the church to bring in the kingdom, opening the way for heaven's authority to be expressed on the earth. And finally, the last minute or so, genuine prayer is a joint labor with God to bring his kingdom to the earth. and to carry out his will on earth. Hence, prayer is a spiritual battle. Okay? Earlier we talked about a genuine church. Not just an actual practical church. It is a church. It's underground. The principle is correct. But we want a genuine church, a local church saturated with divine reality. Now, genuine prayer. I can't get into this. I just make a comment on it. Lord, save us from prayers that are not prayers, really. We may think it's prayer. We feel it, so we say it. We think it. We plan it out, so we say it. That's prayer. And the Lord would say, if we were open to him, he would say, that's not real prayer. That's not genuine prayer. I don't hear that. Prayers are a golden bowl. There's no golden bowl there. I put my incense into the golden bowl of the genuine prayers. We shouldn't just assume everything we pray is genuine. Why don't we come to the Lord and say, Lord, train me to offer genuine prayers. Train our group. Train our district. Train our church to engage in genuine prayer as a joint labor with God to bring his kingdom to the earth and to carry out his will on earth. Surely prayer is a spiritual battle. Now, as I finish this message and finish another precious time with you, and the only way we can have it is via Zoom, but honestly, in my heart, in my spirit, I'm with you all. I realize, just as I've been speaking this message, all of us, and I'm no exception, we have a great deal to learn. This message opens up a realm that we need to explore. And we look to the Lord. Maybe we will have conferences devoted, even trainings, not semi-annual training necessarily, but other kind of trainings to go into the detail of this one outline. Because now we know something we didn't know an hour and a half ago, some of us can say. Now I know where I am. When I came into the church life in Stuttgart, I sensed I was home. And I knew I belonged there. Now I realize I'm in the kingdom of God. The church in Stuttgart is the kingdom of God expressed in Stuttgart. And now I realize another dimension, another aspect. Lord, teach me. I'm a learner. And I believe the Lord would smile and say, gladly will I teach you and train you to pray with me for the will of God to be done on earth and for the kingdom to be manifested on the earth. And if you allow me to train you, then the age will come to an end and I will come back and rule on the earth with my overcomers, the co-kings, who lived in the reality of the kingdom and the church as the kingdom. And now they are with me in the manifestation of the kingdom on the earth. I believe something like this is in the Lord's heart. He is really for us. And we should just turn to him and say, Lord, train us, teach us, perfect us, cause us to grow, cause us to develop in life to maturity. Train us to live under the heavenly authority. Fill all the churches in Europe with divine reality to be the kingdom. Lord, build us up universally and corporately. This is what we're here for. The kingdom of God produced the church. The church is where we are. Now our work is to bring the kingdom of God to the earth in glorious manifestation. May God's will be done, and soon may his kingdom come to the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.